Well, my friends, there are moments in your life when something happens that changes absolutely everything. Maybe you're grieving. Maybe you're hurting. And everything inside you just wants to stop, quit, ball up, shut down, get on Prozac, rock back and forth. But the kingdom assignment in front of you has not changed. So how do you make room for that kind of pain without letting that pain take you out of your purpose? Because, man, I promise you, you just cannot do that. How do you wrestle with the tough questions? How do you keep moving forward whenever you don't understand what's happening and what's going on? My friends, this is where discipleship gets real. And as followers of King Jesus, we have to be willing to wrestle with the hard stuff. And that's exactly what we're going to do here today. And you know what? We're actually going to make it fun. That's what we're going to do as we're about to dive in. But first, I want you to take a look at this clip from a recent show I did with Miss Laura Logan, my good friend, where, well, we answer some really tough questions. Watch this.
What about, you know, the child that's being and tortured, that's crying out to God and to Jesus and is tortured to death?
There's one is, okay, here we go. Look, I have rescued, you know, close to 13,000 kids now. And I have some of the worst things in my head that anybody can imagine. I can tell you this. I have to believe with all my heart that God Almighty loves these kids better than anybody else does. I refuse to believe anything else. There are things to me that do not make any sense. Well, one of the things is this. It's not like God is in control of the whole world. And you're like, whoa, stop. Of course God's in control of the world. No, he's not. Not yet. Understand he created it. Understand he created the rules. Understand all that. But look, we're looking for his will to be done on this earth as it is in heaven. God gets his way every day in heaven, but God does not get his way here up on this earth every day. And he won't until we either give it to him or until Jesus comes back. There are helpless situations that people are in right now all over the world that is breaking God's heart. He sees it. I promise you, he does. But there are also rules of engagement. And the reason why there are rules of engagement is for the sake that you and I can actually be redeemed. If it was a rigid deal, and if God just said, nope, my will is going to be done no matter what, then some of us would have been born in heaven and some of us would have been born in hell.
Well, and then you wouldn't have free will.
That's exactly right. We do have free will, and there is a battle that is taking place. Unless people, in the name of Jesus, take up the fight to rescue kids, they will continue to be tortured, and you just hope it goes away. It ain't going to go away because we want it to go away. We have to be involved in this. We have to be engaged in it. And as the prophet Bill Murray once said, that's the fact, Jack. You know, that was from a recent interview with Laura Logan. I encourage you guys to watch the whole thing at odx.tv and everything else is on there. Well, guys, welcome to episode number 179 of The Pulse. It is September the 1st. This is dove hunting season. Just started today. That's 9-1. And friends, we've got 9-1. I got a Psalms 9-1 scripture actually for you. That couldn't be more fitting. He says, I will praise you, O Lord, with all of my heart. And I will tell of all of your marvelous works. Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do. Guys, we're going to be talking about the goodness of the Lord through our pain today. We're going to be talking about the power of God in the midst of hurtful things. So get ready. Buckle your seatbelts. If you're dealing with grief today and if you have questions, go ahead and send them in. I'm ready. Bring it. And we will try to get to as many as we possibly can. I want to say a great big welcome to all of my crew here today and joining me today. I'm glad to have another dude joining me today.
Present.
Yeah, you are present.
For Women's Conference Week, present.
Exactly right. Exactly. There's nothing wrong with the balance, buddy. There's nothing wrong. Man, Pastor Ryan, I bless you in Jesus' name. Our amazing youth pastor, call you blessed. Good personal friend of mine, guy that does life with me. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. And we're talking about tough questions. I'm showing up, and I think everybody's going to get a lot out of today. I really do.
I was just telling you right before we came in here, which, by the way, we just got through with our pastor's meeting that we do on Tuesday mornings, and today was a doozy.
A humdinger.
It was the most hummus, dinginest thing we've had in a long time.
It's just home run. It was a home run.
It really was. Man, the Spirit of the Lord was there in such a big way today. And we were talking about this. I was actually kind of test driving my Sunday message.
Yes.
For the pastors and say, guys, what do y'all think about this? This is what I'm hearing the Lord speak.
And I love it. You know, Schwartz being football guy, it's like getting in the film room.
Yeah.
It's like building up. We have these meetings. We got our position meetings. We got this. And so you just shared, hey, this is the game plan for Sunday. It's great. It's one of my favorite things about pastor's meeting.
Oh, good. Well, very good.
Yeah. A little preview.
I tell you, yeah, it is a little bit of a preview, but I'm going to be preaching on Sunday about the importance of, yes, we're leaders, but we're leading people into discipleship. And if we're not doing that, we're not leading people into the right thing. Discipleship, yeah. Not of being our disciples, but discipleship of being the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a whole different mamba jamba.
No, I love it. And that's the thing. We don't want people to be more like us. We want to be more like Jesus.
No, that's exactly
we're going
right.
to follow him.
And you can't be like me. I'm like Tigger the Tiger, man. You ain't going to be like me. There's only one me. They broke the mold before King Jesus made me. And I don't want anybody to be like me.
I'm just proving it every day.
I do so well at it.
Yes.
I do so well
at it. The best Troy Brewer I know.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, guys, I greet you here today, and I bless you. Also joining me is my good friend, Ms. Shay Wilbur.
You had to have some chick fest in the room.
Yes.
Absolutely. We couldn't just leave you guys to your own devices today.
I swear, man, you rode a unicorn into the studio. You're such a girl.
I am such a girl. I am. It's okay.
And Rebecca is actually on vacation
she
today.
She is. She's on a cruise right now.
Oh, she's suffering for Jesus.
Wow. She is suffering for Jesus. But good this is her first one. It's good for her to totally unplug and have some good time with the family.
No, it is. It is good. Because she doesn't like that.
Yes. No, it took a lot for her to do it.
It took a lot. I mean, I think she's been with me for 13 years, I think.
Yeah.
And I have never known her to go away for a week. I'm like, go do stuff.
Without kids.
Yeah, without any kids. Without. And she's like, no, I'm like, you do this. You and your husband, go do this. Mm-hmm. Let's go. And
yeah, so they're having fun.
I'm going to go.
They're having fun off the coast somewhere on the Gulf of America.
I noticed there was a hurricane out there in the Gulf of America.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah, that hopefully they...
I started laughing
Hurricane
my
Rebecca.
Head off.
Yeah,
yeah, Hurricane Rebecca. I started laughing my head off when I saw that.
But man, we've got people today joining us from all over the world. So a big welcome. So let's see. We have Jen in Saskatchewan, Canada. Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan.
How do you say that?
Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan.
How do you say that in Hebrew?
I have no idea.
Yeah, exactly.
Saskatchewan, Canada. I can speak Hebrew. I can't say Saskatchewan, Canada. Oh, sorry, guys.
Yeah,
listen,
good.
We have Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I can say that. We have Adele, who's joining us from there. We have Robin Lee, our friend Robin Lee from Mesa, Arizona.
Thanks,
she was
Robin.
Enjoying my Backstreet Boys content, by the way. So shout out Robin Lee.
Okay, can we just... Can we just stop? Can we talk about that? Did you see the get up she was in to go do that, man? God, I was like, oh, King.
It was
Jesus.
Every sparkly, tinsely thing I owned, I wore all at once. It's okay. It was fun.
Yeah, no, it
was a lot
what
of fun.
There for was to have
and
fun.
I will say, Pastor Leanna approved. So she loved
well, of course
the outfit.
She did. Of course,
I don't
she
think
did.
She returned it. So it might be an ODX weekend get up too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We'll break it. That's only if you guys somehow reenact the Backstreet Boys. The guys at the counter need to reenact a Backstreet Boys song. Oh my goodness.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for that.
I don't feel assigned to that.
I don't feel the grace of God upon that.
Yeah, okay. The Lord is not speaking in that. Yeah. Anyway, let's go back to welcoming. We got Brooke Brack from Lexington, South Carolina. We have Rosie from Alaska. We have Lisk from South Africa. Kelly from Yukon, Oklahoma. Guys, we have people from literally all over the country. I see Carrie from Kansas. Christian from Berlin, Germany. We have Deborah from England. Debbie Bosman from South Africa. You guys are tuning in from all over the globe. Mm. What time is it where you're watching? I'm just curious. Is this like as you're winding down the day? Are you just waking up? Are you starting your day with us or are you ending your day with us? I don't know which one I prefer, but we're just happy that you've joined us and that you've tuned in. And I really believe that this is going to bless a lot of people, Pastor. You've been sharing a lot about grief over the past few days. And just as we've been going through our own grief here as a family, and people have been responding to it so much. We've had so many comments, so many people saying that they're going through something. Even just today on the poll since we started, Rebecca commented, I need to be ministered to in this area as well. Mm. So I think this is for a lot of people today.
Well, it's something that nobody avoids. And so it's something that we need to gain mastery in. Yes. Mm-hmm. And mastery doesn't mean that, you know, everything goes perfect. Mastery means you know how to find the master.
Yes. That's so good.
In the midst of all of it. And nobody avoids any of these things. Everybody goes through hard times. Everybody, all these kinds of things. I want to, if it's all right with you guys, can I just go ahead and hammer and just start hammering just right off the bat? So, hey, be sure and smash the buttons and do the things. Be sure and comment. We're going to be looking at comments, and we're also going to be looking at questions. And I want to start off here by saying this. I think that the model that King David gave was two different things. I think that you need to be willing to be broken and vulnerable before people as a leader. Mm-hmm. And whenever his son's life was on the line, hello, my friends from Switzerland. I bless you guys. That's incredible. Hello, Debbie from South Africa. Whenever you, I think as a leader, there's nothing wrong with being vulnerable and saying, no, I'm really hurt right now. There's nothing wrong with that. However, I think it's also important that people see that once you are dealing, once you find a proper place to put your grief and your sorrow, and you learn how to mourn with the Lord, it's very important that they see you get up and get cleaned up.
Yes.
And very important to get with the kingdom program.
Yes.
So King David actually did that. And I was talking to the pastors this morning about that and telling them, I said, look, guys, whenever he went, and the Bible says he laid before the Lord continually and he didn't get up, you need to understand that was not in a private setting in his palace. That was in the tabernacle of David, which the entire city of Jerusalem could see, and he didn't get up to go to the bathroom. That's how messed up he was. And everybody's like, okay, this is our king, and this is our leader, and oh my gosh, look at him. And then when he found out that his child had died, he already had a predetermined response of, if I find out the worst news possible, mm-hmm. I'm going to have a predetermined response. And he heard him whispering, and he's like, dude. So he got up with his predetermined response. Bible says he changed his garments, which I imagine he had to. Mm-hmm. I do. And then he washed his face, and he got himself cleaned up, and he got on his royal garb, and he said, look, if this child cannot come to me, then I will go to my child who is with the Lord. And in other words, I'm ready to get with the Lord's program. And the quicker we can find that place, the better off, man, that we're going to be. And while that is easier said than done, it is something that everybody has to go through. I said, Pastor Ryan, on Sunday, the Valley of Ono, nobody avoids the Valley of Ono, and it will lead you through the land of why. And you have to get through that place of why very, very quickly and get with the Lord's program.
Absolutely. We do it here. We have Grief Share here, our ministry that starts. We do that twice a year. And Pastor Troy, you're absolutely right. Once people get in that environment where they haven't been alone with it, they get in with God's program. We've had people the past year. We had one lady who her husband had died years ago, and she had only eaten cereal for every single meal for over 2 years, unable. And then once she got in after a few weeks, went out to eat with people for the first time, changed things, literally changed the way her bedroom looked, things like that. So you're totally right. Once you get on, the Lord will start making these changes to let you know that you moved on from this place to the place that he wants you. So you're absolutely right.
And we're very adamant about, hey, we're not the kind of Christians that say that you're not allowed to mourn. No. You mourn. You throw the fit that you need to throw. You do what you got to do, and you do those kinds of things. But we're also adamant about, there will come a place, and I can't say when it is for anybody.
For anybody, that's right.
For anybody. I don't tell anybody how to mourn. But there will come a place where you're like, I have to learn how to have hope for my life.
That's exactly right.
In the midst of this terrible suffering and grief. And our hope is in Jesus. Yeah. And that's not something you can fake. That's something we must be able to find, all of us, in the midst of the really hard things that all of us go through.
Jeremy from Texas says, show us how to grieve, but show us how to rise in victory after. I love that.
Amen.
That's what we're going to do. Also, I want to read this comment from Debbie Cheney. PT, this is Debbie from Portland, Oregon. God is good. I had a nasty fall at work this morning, ambulance and all. This morning, I had 5 stitches in my head, and my room was number 12, his perfect government. Thank you for all you do in the midst of my hardships. I saw Jesus thanks to your ministry. I'm home now. Praise the Lord.
Oh, you know what? I bless you.
That's awesome.
And so, and I hate that the spirit of Joe Biden came down, came upon you, and you fell down the stairs. Listen, all of us do that. All of us do that. And I'm sure you made it look cool. I bet you made it look a lot cooler than I would have had I fell down whatever it was that you fell down.
I wonder if she lives so prophetically. She's paying attention
to the members
at the hospital.
Holy gift.
To our ministry. She saw God in that. So I love that.
Way to go.
I love that, Debbie.
Totally gimped, totally hurt, in pain.
She's like, God, with all this anything. Stuff, and she's like, I see the number 12. God is with me.
He's in total control.
Oh man, I love that.
Way to go.
I love you and I bless you. You know what? You know what I'm gonna do for you? I'm gonna send you a free ticket to the New Beginnings Conference.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
I'm gonna send you a free ticket, and that's good for online or in person. I'm gonna give you a full access free ticket. So here's what I want you to do. I know that all my sweet friends are watching right now that are over
at the
in the calling center. Mm-hmm. And so they're gonna be looking for you. And what was her name? Was it Debbie?
Debbie Cheney.
So Debbie Cheney from Portland, call 877-413-0888. Right on, if you'll do that. I'm going to give you a free ticket to the New Beginnings Conference. And you can watch it online,
awesome.
You know, or you can come in person. So I'm going to give that to you. And I bless you in Jesus' name. I speak healing on you. You will recover so quickly in the name of Jesus. And you will not feel like a fool and will not feel like you're stupid because something bad happened. Man, bad stuff happens. And I bless you. I mean, dude, listen. If Jerry Sellers was sitting here, I imagine he's got stitches since the last time I saw him.
Since pastor's meeting.
Maybe. I know, just since our pastor's meeting. That brother gimps up every day because he works so hard.
Yeah.
And he's always doing something.
I don't know
something.
If I've ever had stitches in my life.
You've never had stitches?
Oh, no, I did once because I was attacked by a dog, but that was it. That
you
was
got
the only
attacked
time.
By a dog?
Yeah, like brutally attacked by a dog.
How old were you?
15.
To hell with that dog.
Yeah.
I'd shoot that dog right here, right now.
It was scary.
Yeah, I bet was scary. Did he drag you around?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like tore at my leg was a toy.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
That was fun.
I've been attacked by dogs.
I love that she stayed locked in the whole time. That's so cool.
That is cool.
She's like,
yeah, no, I love that. I love that. So I bless you in Jesus' name. Proud of you, and I call you blessed. All right.
And we'll see you at New Beginnings Conference.
Yeah,
that's
we'll see
amazing.
You at the New Beginnings Conference.
That's cool.
Let's go.
Were we just going to have a moment of silence?
Somebody, I saw one comment, PT. Somebody said that grief, that your grief gets a voice. It does not get a vote.
A vote. I love that. I saw that too. Really good.
And it's amazing how many people can get in that there. And we talk about you're walking with Jesus in your grief. Mm. Like you said, whenever you master something, you get close to the master. Not something that you master, but the whole point is that everything brings us closer to him, right?
Yeah. Well, there's a way to find Jesus in all 28 seasons in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There's there's a cross. There's 28. The word cross is in the Bible 28 different times. And I said that I preached on this on Sunday. And there's 28 crosses for the 28 seasons that is actually listed in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So it means that we can find the power of Jesus no matter how powerless we are.
Yes.
We can find the power of the cross. And the finished work of the cross gives us access to the resurrection power of Jesus.
That's exactly right.
And that's why there's a cross there that says that there's an open door. And so that's a really big deal. And it's not to belittle or make little or make slight of all the hell that people go through, because, man, I'm amazed at things people go through. I don't like it. Man, I don't like it at all. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And with that said, I'm not impressed with evil.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I had to repent of being impressed or being overwhelmed by really evil things, and I'm not going to be impressed with that. I will be impressed with the Father. I will be impressed with His heart. I will be impressed with the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I will be impressed with those things. And you have to. There's a discipline that you signed up for in following Jesus, and that you're like, okay, I'm going to get back with this program. And again, on Sunday, I'm actually going to be preaching on that. It's going to be really good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lisa Bennett said, we need to mourn when we lose someone or something that we love. Many times we hear and become so much closer to the Lord during these times because, as we know, the scripture says he's near to the brokenhearted. And during these times, he's right there with us as we lean into him more. So I think that's really good.
Shay, we did a Pulse episode on grief a while back. I can't remember if that was last year or when that was. But, Pastor, we talked about it again this morning, that grief is revealing of this deep, really genuine love. Like, it's very difficult to grieve something that you don't have a genuine love or there's this connection to. How have you found just that relationship between you loving to the extent that you do, and you do, but also the grief that can happen in life? How have you found the relationship with those two things and stayed close to Jesus?
I'm not shocked when I have to grieve. I know that I'm going to have to.
Okay, so it's not like there's an offense that comes with grief that says I shouldn't be feeling this way. This should not be happening. All these things that should not, could not, yada yada yada. I'm like, no, these things happen, and I've lived long enough to know there's going to be times, man, when my heart is broken over something, over a terrible loss. But I also want to tell you this: I live a lifestyle as much as I can, and I should a whole lot more than what I do. But I live a lot. I live a lifestyle of brokenness already. Mm-hmm.
And you don't protect yourself from it.
I do not. I do not protect myself. I do not protect my heart from being broken. And I live, man, with a broken heart. I'm a little bit crushed all the time. You know, I'm a little bit, all those things. And so you walk with Jesus in those things. And so it's not like when you get blindsided by something like what we did this last weekend. Yes. With the sudden death of a very close friend, it's not like you're not familiar with having your heart broken.
Yes.
You're already familiar with it, and this is the walk. And I've already found Jesus in broken places, so I'll find him again. I just didn't know I was going to be in those circumstances.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what, and if anybody hears you say that you don't protect yourself from being brokenhearted, and you'd like an explanation why, we'll see you on Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 as Pastor Troy goes in depth on the importance of following Jesus and not protecting your heart from being broken.
So. Yeah. I was going to say, I just feel like I've learned a lot from being here and seeing we deal with hard stuff a lot. And even this weekend, I was thinking, you know, after the loss that we experienced this weekend, like I literally took a moment and just was like, man, we deal with a lot of really hard stuff.
Every
like
week.
Mourning, whether it's a kid that we're on the way to get or whether it's something like what we just recently saw. And I have personally learned so much about how to grieve and how to deal with loss and how to not be crippled by it, but to give it that moment, but not have it interfere with my purpose and what God's called me to do. Because it is sometimes we get so inwardly focused that we can get to a place of hopelessness like you were talking about earlier. And it's like, we can't allow ourselves to stay there in the valley of, oh no, but keep our eyes focused on what God would have us do in the midst of all that.
The idea that tragedy is supposed to cripple us is an American idea.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it comes from pharmaceutical companies. We've been marketed by so many pharmaceutical companies that, hey, if you got trauma, you're not going to be able to get past it. Man, you need this dope. You'll need this because you're just going to be too crippled. And I want to tell you, man, that dope will cripple you worse than anything else. Mm. It's just horrible. So with that said, that is an American idea. And here's the deal. The church in Nigeria is not crippled. And Muslims are killing them by the thousands. And I promise you they are traumatized. But they're not crippled. The guy in the foxhole is not crippled. Mm. And he has seen his friends die around him. It's the attribute of a warrior. And we used to have within the American culture, man, we used to love warriors. And then toxic masculinity came into play. Mm-hmm. And the whole demonic thing of feminism came along here within the United States. And we were taught that all those things are bad. Well, those things are not bad. Those things are very much needed. In fact, whenever God Almighty shows up to a guy like, I don't know, like Ezekiel, when God Almighty shows up to a guy like Job, who went through terrible trauma, God says, gird yourself like a man and present yourself to me. God's like, okay, I know you're traumatized. I know you got issues. I need you to put on your big boy pants. Okay, that's how God, the most loving and kind person in the universe, deals with people who are traumatized. He's like, okay, you still have a responsibility here in the midst of your trauma. You have a great responsibility to put on your big boy pants. And we have to celebrate that between each other and go, hey, man, I see you putting on your big boy pants. Wow. Mm-hmm. And I know it's tough. I know it's not easy. And it's not. So I see that we have some questions and we're going to get off into these things. What do you have over there?
Yeah, we've got questions on a couple of different topics, but just kind of staying in line with what we're talking about right now. Jacob Gomez said, how do y'all handle seeing miracles for one but not another? On the second day, in the cancer floor, this mama's daughter passed away, and I was really believing for her daughter to be healed just the day before. Thankful for our breakthrough, but my heart is still battling for, is still for those in the battle.
And it's hard. It's mm-hmm. truly hard. It's truly, truly, truly hard. Now, I'm going to say this and throw, and I'm just going to say the truth, mm-hmm. and I'm going to say past my pastoral daddy's heart to just comfort you in that. I know that you already know that, Jacob. I love you, and mm-hmm. we're friends, and I bless you, and also know what an awesome man of God you are. So I'm just going to skip that, mm-hmm. and I'm going to get right to the other deal. The deal is the two questions that we're supposed to ask, according to Acts chapter 2, is not why, not even how, mm-hmm. okay? Because Jesus is the way, and as we follow him, he will show us how, okay? So not even how. The two questions that we're supposed to ask is, what does this mean, and what should I do? Yeah. Those are the two questions that God wants us to ask, and those are the two questions that God wants us to, that he desperately wants to answer for us. The reason why we ask, what does this mean, is because it means we're dependent upon the Lord for the conclusions we come to in the midst of very difficult things. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, if I pray for this person and there's a miracle, but if I pray for 50 people and there's not one, does that mean that God is only 2% reliable? Does that mean that the power of the Holy Spirit is only 2%. If I mm-hmm. if I see one miracle and if I pray for 1,000 people with cancer and only see one person that I believe is a miracle, does that mean that God is only, what is that? It's 1,000%. Mm-hmm. So is that mean he's only reliable and faithful in that? Okay, if that's the conclusion you come to, it means that you haven't guarded your heart with the Word of God. Wow. Okay. And so it's like, wow. So you got to be careful of that head of yours and that heart of yours, because our heart is wicked and deceitful above all things. And our head changes from mm-hmm. moment to moment to moment, but his word does not. Now that I've said that, the next question is, what should I do? You pray for 1,000 more. Mm-hmm. That's what you do. Yeah. And it's like what I was saying on Sunday, you know, with our friend, instead of us asking, how come God didn't save our friend, I think a better question is, how come we didn't resurrect him? Mm-hmm. Because we're commanded to do that. And the reality is I don't know how to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit like that. And I need to. And that means that there's a responsibility on me to tap into the goodness and the power of God. And so that's one of the ways that I deal with it, buddy. And I'm just like, nope, I'm going to keep going after it. Man, going after the kingdom is a lot like practicing medicine. It is a practice. And yes, it is something that you hit and miss on. And you keep going after it and keep going after it. Good.
We got another one from His in Glory. Is it biblical that bitterness, grief, and unforgiveness produces sickness in the mind and the body?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, it will bear fruit. It's meant to bear fruit. It's meant to kill you.
Yeah.
That's what it's meant. None of those things come from the Lord. So I heard Pastor Howerton. What's his name? Is his name Josh Howerton? Uh-huh. God, I love
Josh
him.
Josh Howerton.
I watch everything he does. I'm so grateful for his voice today. I'm just so grateful for it. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm talking about, Josh Howerton?
Yeah, Josh's dad is who hired me at Fuge years ago.
So, Are you serious?
Big fan. Yeah, Lance Howerton.
Gosh, dude, I love him. And just like, look at this young man and look at what King Jesus is doing through this guy and how many people are being healed and set free and gaining clarity and gaining relationship with the Lord through his ministry. I'm like, wow, I encourage everybody, find anything on Josh Howerton.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. and whoever does all of his clips, man, they know what they're doing. He's got an awesome team, mm-hmm. awesome media team. And so, but he's got such great content because the brother does it. The brother brings it. And he's just a breath of fresh air for me. I'm like, there it is. Looking for that guy right there. But I heard him say whenever he was talking to, I think it was Sean Ryan he was talking to. He was on the Sean Ryan podcast. And he was talking about unforgiveness. Sean Ryan being a SEAL team guy, mm-hmm. being a special contractor, special operator. He's like, let's talk about forgiveness because you can't tell me that God wants me to forgive so-and-so. So he goes, how am I supposed to do that? Pastor Josh Howerton said, forgiveness is 100% achievable every single time because it only involves one person.
That's good.
And I was like, I'm going to be saying that for the rest of my life. I wish I had that language 40 years ago. That was brilliant language. I've made stabs at that language, but he said that. And then he said, it's only up to one person if there's forgiveness. So it's 100% achievable. It's not up to any other circumstances. And then it's something that you're determined to do and something that you're determined to go after in the midst of unpeeling the layers of your own broken heart. And that's what you do. And I love that. There's, it's so healing. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness is so important. I'm actually more scared of unforgiveness than I am of anything else. I honestly am in my potential to mess up. I know I have the capacity to cheat on my wife, but I'm not going to. Okay. I know I have the capacity of that. I know I have the capacity to be really mean to people and do terrible things, but I'm not going to do that. I know I have the capacity to spin off and live the life of a drunk. Okay. I have the capacity to do that, but I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. But I am fearful, mm-hmm. meaning I fear the Lord of unforgiveness, because I think unforgiveness is a huge legal qualifier in so many ways for the devil to wreak havoc in your life and actually keep you from being forgiven. Like, we got a legal right that says he doesn't have access to your forgiveness because he does not forgive. And people are like, no. If you believe in Jesus, everything is fine. I'm telling you right now, Jesus said, if you want to be forgiven, you need to forgive. And I just encourage you, man, to work through those things. I take that very, very mm-hmm. seriously, because the Lord himself told me, you're not allowed. There's two things. There's two things, Shay, that God has really beat me up on.
Yeah.
I'm talking about. One is lust. Troy, you're not allowed to have that in your life. You just, and every man battles that. It is what it is. I'm not ashamed of that. I love being a dude, all that. But since the time that I've come into the ministry, God Almighty has showed up in scary ways.
Yeah.
Saying, I'm serious and I'm not playing with you on that. I'm like, okay. Like, I'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Yeah. The second one is unforgiveness.
Yeah, I feel that too, because I've seen the result in my own life and family members that I've seen what it looks like when bitterness takes root and it's not dealt with, and unforgiveness, how unforgiveness and bitterness can walk hand in hand. And then what that looks like when not only does it stay in your heart, but then you get immune to it. You don't even realize that it's there.
So you think about it, like Pastor Brian and you and I talk about this. We live in a body. Mm-hmm. We are a spirit. We have a soul. So Ephesians chapter 4, for the person who asked the question, Ephesians 4, verse 30 says, "And don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he's identified you as his own, guarantee you that you'll be saved on redemption." The next verse says, "Get rid of all bitterness." Get rid of it. So I have, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ has forgiven you.
That's the discipline. So,
yes.
That's the intentional posture you take if you're going to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ.
So the two questions that you said from Acts that you should ask at any time, if somebody is watching and they're like, I'm bitter, why am I bitter? You would say, that's not the question you need to be asking. Right. You say, the question you need to be asking about your bitterness is what?
What does this mean and what should I do?
Get rid of it. Who's going to help you get rid of it? Great news. Holy Spirit will help you get rid of it.
Yeah.
Biblical community will help you get rid of it. People who will tell you the truth and not shy away from your bitterness will help you get rid of it.
Friends, we're about to go to some more questions. But before we do, I want to stop here and just tell you this. In the midst of the fight that you and I are fighting to deal with ourselves and with our own flesh, we also continue to fight trafficking all over the planet Earth. And if you haven't joined ODX.TV yet, man, I want to encourage you guys to do that. We just uploaded the first four episodes of season two of The Counter. We're about to upload a documentary that's called To Catch a Monster. We're also about to upload something crazy cool that has to do with news that's going to be on the ODX.TV. Mm-hmm. We haven't announced that yet. And guys, we're continuing to add and continue to add and continue to add. Be a stage two or stage three, or be a lifetime member of ODX.TV. I also want to say this. Ms. Shay, you know about, in fact, tomorrow Pastor Swanamy is going to be joining us.
Nice. Yes, I'm hoping. And I haven't heard back for sure.
Oh, wait, she will.
She will.
She will. She'll join us.
We know her boss. We know. So.
She will. But we're actually going to be talking about all the projects we have throughout the world, awesome. And how that we cannot, we have to establish what the Lord has given us to do. We have to finish the things. You can't halfway rescue a child. Can't do it. You got to fully rescue and fully redeem a child. And it takes a lot of hard work from a lot of different kinds of people. And it takes a lot of support and a lot of giving. It's a tremendous money pit. And guys, I want to encourage you guys. I want you to go to troybrewer.com and please give. Go to troybrewer.com and go, you know what? I haven't, maybe you just haven't been a faithful giver in a long time. Now's your time. This is good ground to put your seed in. I promise you it is. This is a good place to plant. If you want to write a check and send a check to us and say, Pastor Troy, I want to get in that fight, write it out to TBM, and it's at P.O. Box 3775, Bertelson, Texas, 76097. Maybe you want to help us with the Bear Allen Brewer School for Exceptional Children, which is a school for vulnerable kids that are blind, that are deaf, that are mentally disabled, or who are lamed. Maybe you want to help us with the first single boys' home in all of Mexico that we are building right this second. It's a $650,000 bill for us to get that. We've already got it staffed. We've already got the licensees. And there are boys that are waiting to be rescued that they will not rescue them until they have a place to put them in. And I go to sleep knowing that every night, and I wake up every single morning knowing that. Hey, please be an exceptional giver. Go to troybrewer.com and give today, or you can call the number on the screen right here. Call 877-413-0888. All right. So we have another question.
Yeah, we have another question. This is from Debbie Rhodes. How would you encourage someone to pray for their spouse who is emotionally traumatized from the way they were raised and is listening to the voice of the enemy in their head? If they are in covenant with God and their spouse through marriage, is there an authority that they can pray in for complete healing for that person since they are now one through marriage?
Well, yeah. As a matter of fact, I certainly believe so. And here's the deal. You got to keep going after it. And I would do stupid stuff if I was you. I would do crazy cool stuff. A friend of mine named Paula Ledbetter, who she wanted to see her husband walking with God. And she started putting scriptures under the mattresses. She started putting oil everywhere. She started losing her mind and going, I am going to see my husband be a man of God.
I love it.
And she did. She saw it. And he got saved and healed and set free in an incredible way. And I mean, she saw it. I mean, she saw it happen. It was crazy. And I want to just tell you this. You have a lot more authority than you think do. Ladybug, the Bible says a wise woman builds her house with her hands, which means you have the ability, you have the capacity to build within your own house. And so I encourage you within that. I would get prayer partners. I'd start praying about it every single day. I'd start calling the number and saying, I'm calling again today to pray for my husband. I want to see a breakthrough. I want to do that. And yeah, what else would you guys tell her to
do? Is that exciting? Just whenever you were just praying for her right now, I saw angelic help helping with this.
There you go.
And you can call as you're claiming the promises of Scripture and you're praying those things. There is angelic help that all kinds of fun stuff. So I just, in the name of Jesus, this is going to be a great story by the end of the year. It's going to be a great story. I can feel that. Love reading a good story. Love a good testimony. It's going to be a great story. And I really get a sense your husband's going to start talking to you about all the weird things that he's starting to notice.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, hey, I was driving and it was like this. And just hear that and just keep praying.
In the book of Jeremiah, he says, I will give them a heart to know them. And that's one of the things I pray for people when they don't know the Lord or they are fixated on some trauma or fascinated with some evil that has happened within their life. And I say, Lord God, give them a heart to know you. Give them a heart to know you. Just give them a heart. And suddenly they'll start having a heart for the things of God to be able to perceive the kingdom and the goodness of King Jesus. Yeah. Great stuff. Yeah, man, we all pray for you. You got another one?
Yeah. Let's get another one. All right. Jackie Ladd says, does forgiveness mean access?
Does forgiveness mean access? No. No. Reconciliation is not forgiveness.
Yeah.
And that's really good. No, that's not the same. So.
And how do you know the difference?
Yeah, well, okay, here's the deal. How you know the difference? And again, I heard Josh Howerton say this. I heard this clip one time and it burned in my head because this is something I've been preaching for forever and I didn't have the language. In the book of Proverbs, there's three different categories of people. There's only three categories of people. There are wise, there are foolish, and there is wicked.
Wow.
Okay? If somebody is wise, and wise has to do with believing and with the same program, if that person offends you and they're wise, you probably still need them within your life. If that person is foolish, meaning they're unbelieving, or maybe they love the Lord, but they're foolish concerning your own walk, concerning the fruit that God has, concerning your destiny, concerning your ministry, concerning, you know, how you worship God, whatever that is. It's really up to you to decide if you need that person in your life or not. You still forgive them. You still do, but man, it may be beneficial. It may not be beneficial, or you may just be able to endure it for another season. But if that person is wicked, that's somebody you need to get out of your life.
I released some testimony on forgiveness. I know we've got a lot of shared stories, ODX community. The idea of God as a heavenly father for me was super warped by the time fourth grade. Whenever I forgave my biological father, it didn't. What happened wasn't that he got access or I got access. What it ended up doing was healing me in a way that I had access to men who were older than me that wanted to invest in me. Pastor, I had like this block with guys because I still hadn't extended that forgiveness to him, made that decision, a one of one decision. But what it did was the Lord took that, breathed on it, and it made it to where I was able to function and be in relationship with guys. Pastor Michael, who's here, I don't know that I would have been able to relate to him in the way that I do now had I not chosen to forgive when I did.
Wow.
It changed. It was at Quest.
Awesome.
Changed me in a huge way. So I would answer it and say, hey, it may not be access for that person or may not that, but if the Lord calls us to forgive and we do that, everything that we know about him, he's going to bless it. He's going to breathe on it in a new way. It may not be what you expect, though.
Yeah. Debbie has two cats. She says, forgiveness is for me, but if the person is still abusive to me, then they don't have access in my life.
Absolutely. So yeah, man. Look, man, there's 8 billion people on the planet Earth. And I say that a lot, don't I? Yeah. And, dude, am I not one of the most relational human beings you guys know?
Yeah.
I mean, I relate to everybody, but when I can't, this is what I like to say, and I'm actually just being funny when I say this, but I'm like, I fully expect to be able to get along with everybody.
Yeah.
I fully expect that. Mm-hmm. And when I can't, I'm just determined it's because they're stupid. And I don't know what else to say about that. You know, if you're going to be stupid and if you're going to act a fool and try and bring your toxic mouth into my life and try and pollute the peace of the Lord to chase off my anointing and destroy the fruit of my life, I don't have to give you access. When there's a snake in your garden, you get rid of that snake. That's what you do.
This is what I've learned, and I think this community does really well. PT, the people that I've seen that I've had a front row seat, they get along really well. They value what you value. The minute that somebody and I aren't valuing the same thing, we probably need to have a boundaries conversation because we're not valuing the same thing. But if you have a value for unity, which doesn't mean you agree to everything, but you're able to work through it, you have a value that I'm not going to keep up the cost of everything Jesus is calling me to do so I don't run into a situation where I've paid too much. Whenever you've had shared values, it's people that are like, you value that? I'm not valuing the same thing. It's like, okay, well, our boundaries just changed.
Okay, so now, exactly right. Then your boundaries change. And it might not be that that person is wicked.
No.
It might not be that that person has a devil. It just means they can't hang. And I've seen that so much, man, within my own ministry.
I want conversation so bad. It's coming. It's coming, folks. It's coming. There's great discipleship conversation on the way.
There is one.
Because it's all about discipleship.
It is.
Even forgiveness. Forgiveness is all about discipleship.
It is.
Getting rid of these things that Scripture calls.
To be committed to getting rid of these things.
Being friends with Holy Spirit.
Yes.
It's discipleship.
Yes, it is discipleship.
Oh, man.
All of that is discipleship.
I get all worked up.
Crazy cool. All right, let's go.
Let's just see. This is a little bit of a different one. Lexi, 8676. We've been givers for years now. My husband stepped out in February on the Lord's direction. And, where did it just go? Hold on. It just went away. Hang on one second. On the Lord's direction and every dive financially, we've been struggling so bad, wondering if we were going to lose our home. Any advice?
Well, of course, I don't know the exact circumstances, but you're just talking as far as how it relates to you and King Jesus and all this. Like, hey, look, we stepped out into this wilderness place and we totally thought that we were doing exactly what God told us to do. and it has not bore good fruit. Mm-hmm. It has been a mess. Well, yeah, I number one, I don't like that for you at all. I want to see instant results. I want to see the Spirit of the Lord come in. I want to see you walk in the goodness of God. I want you to be able to tell such a cool story for years and years and years to come. And now here's what I'm going to tell you. Okay, I'm going to tell you this. It may or may not go like that. Mm-hmm. Whenever we step out, whenever we obey the Lord, the big win is, first of all, that we stepped out and we obeyed the Lord. And that was not stupid. And that was not a waste of time.
That's right.
The second thing I want to tell you is this. The wind that is coming to you and how the Lord will show his faithfulness, because he will, you cannot ordain the timing of that.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you just can't. And look, man, I had a church of less than 100 people for 18 years. And I don't recommend that, man, to anybody.
Yeah. Well,
I what?
And I want to say something here, because she followed up that question with another comment. She said, how do you get past poverty when being obedient and giving? And I'm like, you and Pastor Leanna have literally lived that out, the heart of givers and giving to those who had less than you, even when you didn't have electricity in your home.
Yeah.
So I would encourage her to not stop.
Listen, don't stop. Heart. Don't bail, because, sister, I want to just tell you this, man. We went through it, and we didn't go through it for a month or a year. We went through it for almost 20 years of our life. And, actually more than that. It was actually more than that. Well, it was more than 20 years. And we went through it. And now I'm just going to tell you, we suffered.
Yeah.
And if I had it all to do over again today, I would do things a little bit differently than what I did then, because I really had a religious spirit. And I can see a bunch of mistakes I made. But I did not make a mistake in giving away the farm and obeying the Lord. I did not make a mistake and being the biggest giver of anybody ever, certainly not in quantity, but in quality of what we had to give. I didn't make a mistake in any of those things. And then I'm just going to just tell you, the day came, and it took a long time. I was 50 years old before this happened, and by the grace of God, that's not going to be you, okay? But this was my journey, okay? The day came, in one day, God changed my finances, and I heard God speak. I was in the car with Leanna, and God spoke to Leanna and to I at the same exact time, and we both heard God say the same thing. And God said, you will never be poor again. And I told Leanna, I just heard God speak. Oh, my gosh. And she said, yeah, he said we're never going to be poor again. I was like, yes. And we just started freaking out. I mean, it was like so, and I mean, I had my wife there to verify that she'd heard the same thing that I had just heard.
Love it.
And I haven't been poor since then. But I went through years and years and years of going through what you're going through right now, which was a harsh place of fierce obedience and love and devotion to the Lord before I saw that breakthrough of poverty and the chains of poverty coming off of me.
Yeah.
And I, such as I have, I give unto you in Jesus' name. And I declare, you're going to see the goodness of God show up. You're not going to lose your house. You are not going to lose your house. I believe, amen, by the Spirit of the Lord, that God Almighty is sending angels. And literally, the presence of angels just changes everything. That God Almighty is sending angels. That God Almighty is doing great and mighty things within your life. Income streams, greater capacity to gain income in the name of Jesus. Simple solutions to complicated issues in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the spirit of poverty that's trying to kill you. And I declare the abundance of the Most High God belongs to you in Jesus' name. And I declare that over your life and call you blessed.
One other part of that, and y'all probably caught it. You were a generous giver during that, and then you've stayed a generous giver on the other side of the Lord saying that as well. So something for her to look forward to.
Yeah, like that's a fun test to have. You know, man, being
able to bless people.
You have to pass the poor test, and you also have to pass the abundance test.
That's good.
You got to be able to pass both of, and I'm going to tell you, I passed both of them. I've done a lot of things wrong, but I have passed those tests. And so has Leanna. And I remember the very first conference in 2016, we had a conference. And the most I think we had ever made in a conference was like $15,000 over a 3-day period, which was amazing. We were always blown away at that. But we had a conference and we made like $160,000. And I'd never seen anything like that happen before. And I had already promised to the Lord, if I ever make $100,000 in a conference, this is exactly what I'm going to do. And I called the whole team in and showed them, though we desperately needed that money, we needed that money. I sat down and I wrote $100,000 worth of checks to other ministries that did not benefit me in any way whatsoever. And I went, I promised God I would do this if this ever happened. Now let the floodgates be open and let this become the norm.
Amen.
And there you go.
That's so good.
And I passed that test. I did. A lot of people know this story, but 3 or 4 years ago, we actually had a $1 million giver to our ministry. Mm-hmm. And to this day, I don't know who it is. A person might be watching right now, but it was an anonymous giver. And I want to tell you, I had made a vow to the Lord that there's a little tiny small church right down the road that if anybody ever gave us $1 million, that I would tithe 10% of that $1 million, $100,000, to that little church that I'm not even associated with. Mm-hmm. And I made that covenant in 2011. And I've only had one time that anybody has given me $1 million, and it was that one time. I'm hoping that changes. Mm-hmm. But I got the check, and I was in Uganda, and mm-hmm. I called our CPA, and I said, call up Pastor so-and-so. Yep. And I get in on such and such day, uh-huh. and the first check I am going to write is going to be to them for a check for $400,000. I will keep my vow. Mm-hmm. And I did, and I passed those tests, and I didn't forget those things, and I'm still living that life mm-hmm. today. Hallelujah.
I appreciate that. I mean, yeah, I think that says a lot too, because it wasn't even something where there was all this follow-up between the time where you promised, like, hey, if I ever get this, I'm going to give you a check for that. You know, it wasn't like you had that accountability. You could have not written that check and no one would have ever known except for you and God, probably. No one would have ever known that you didn't hold up your end of That's the bargain. Scary. Yeah.
See, I would much rather you guys hear me say I'll do something and then you see me not do it than me tell God I will do this thing right and not
there.
Do it.
Yeah. That right there.
Because I don't really know half of y'all.
Yeah.
But I know God. Mm. And I'm like, my gosh almighty, I got to obey that brother. So, yeah.
And in Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira is pretty killer. If you're going to say you're going to give something, you might want to. The thing that I'm thinking about, Shay and PT on this, and for everybody asking questions about the giving part, I kind of put giving in that category of like that this side of heaven, that's going to be an opportunity that I have here.
Yep.
You're
never going to have that again.
Can you imagine that?
Once you see Jesus face to face.
That's cool.
You will also never have the opportunity to worship God in the midst of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
That it's exclusive it's for exclusive this
during this time,
and yeah. that's I mean, I get I can feel the spirit on that mm-hmm. so much.
Can you imagine? Okay, so Shay, you and I are going to be friends in heaven, and we will know each other for billions and billions of years, and we'll be talking about, man, can you remember 19 billion years ago when we were back in Texas? And you'll be like, don't you wish that we could have another opportunity to just suffer for the Lord? Can you imagine how faithful we would be now?
Wow.
And we're never going to have that opportunity again mm-hmm. To serve the Lord during the midst of suffering and to trust him and to be faithful to our vows and to all those things. Mm-hmm. We're not going to have those opportunities again.
So I'm saying whenever you come back and it's a new thing where whenever you're asking people like, hey, join in this fight, get involved in this to give. Just as you're hearing that, I would, as your brother in Christ, I want to encourage you to hear that for what it is. It's an opportunity that's exclusive to this part of the experience as you're walking. So it's exciting.
I want to say one more time to my friend who was saying, hey man, we stepped out in faith and we're having a really hard time financially. You are not stupid for obeying the Lord. Don't. And don't judge your wins by how much money you have in the bank right now. Judge that.
That's right.
That's not your metric. Mm-hmm. Your metric is you're still in the game. You're still faithful. And even if you can't see, you know, Brother Job said this. He said, I look in front of me and I can't find God. I look behind me and I can't find God. I look to the left and right, I can't find God. Yeah. But God knows my ways. Mm-hmm. He's like, just because I can't see him doesn't mean he doesn't see me. Because he can see me, and I trust the Lord for that. Man, listen, your payoff is coming. Your payoff is coming. I know the Lord that you serve because he's also my Lord. And I commend you and I bless you in Jesus' name. You're going to see it happen. Be encouraged. Come on, man. Be encouraged.
And then let us know when it happens, please. Yeah. we'll be praying for it. So let us know whenever the breakthrough comes.
Well, it's time for us to go behind the veil.
Yeah.
We're about to go behind the veil. And we got a bunch more questions, right?
We've got.
Yeah.
What are some of the questions? What are some of the questions? Can you?
Yeah, we've got a question that's about projecting. Okay. Having to do with. Yeah.
Really?
Curses and witchcraft.
Curse the Uvalde stories.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got.
Get off into that. I want to get off into that.
Let me scroll back up. But we've questions on some topics that were like a little bit different from what we were talking about, so we can sprinkle those into.
Another forgiveness thing came up big time. I know we started talking about grief and mourning and stuff, but forgiveness has become a big thing that people are interested in.
Well, friends, when life hits hard, you got to keep your gloves up.
Yeah.
And you got to stay in the fight. And know this, that where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. Yeah. And grace in the kingdom is God-given ability to overcome. Get grace unto salvation comes from Jesus and really doesn't have anything to do with you at all. But grace, if you're in the kingdom, is God-given ability to overcome. And where sin does abound, that kind of grace does much more abound. So, man, the harder you hit, the harder you get hit, the more power you have to get up. And here's what I say to you. Get up. It's okay. It's not the same as it was. It's not fun. It's difficult. It's hard. But get up. Man, there are people dependent upon you. And one of the persons that is dependent upon you is the God of this universe who makes himself vulnerable and says, I'm not going to do that. I'm trusting you to do that. Do the kingdom stuff. I'm going to let my sister close this up, but I want to pray for everybody. Father God, sir, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus for everybody, God, who's going through tough. And I pray, Father God, sir, for your soft heart to be made manifest. I pray, Lord God Almighty, sir, for strategies and plans on how to attack the bitterness, the unforgiveness, the shock and the trauma. I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, whatever thing has a crippling effect upon us, Lord God, your word says, lift up those who have feeble knees, those who have suffered the crippling effects of terrible trauma. And Lord God, sir, that's what we do. And God, I lift up my friends all over the world and I call them blessed. And I declare no spirit of poverty will own a single one of us in the name of Jesus.
Receive it, y'all. Receive it.
And Father God, sir, I love you and praise you and thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, Michelle.
Amen. I just want to encourage people right now. If that resonated with you, let's just type, let's just see the comments in every season. I love that. In every season. In every just claim season. That. Claim that right now for your life. I do want to close out with reading one comment, Pastor, that you had to hear. I just got to scroll up. Amy Martin, she said, I want to get a huge thank you to Pastor Troy for seeing my comment. This was like a week or so ago. It really lifted my spirit. I was feeling very discouraged about my birthday this year. Nothing had gone the way that I thought year 50 would go. So him seeing my comment about sharing my birthday with Davy Crockett and sending me a hat, which I actually received on my birthday. It was small to you, but it was huge to her. So much more to say, but she struggles to put it into words. Thank you. Just thank you for all that you're doing.
Oh, listen, that's cool. Thank you. That is so cool. And you know what, man? Your 50s are going to be great.
Yes.
You opened a savings account at 50, didn't
you? Yeah, I finally had a personal savings account when I was 50 years old.
That's awesome. So shout out to Amy. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. Happy belated birthday. And thanks for tuning in.
Every
in.
Season.
And
I love it.
In every season.
I love
go.
That.
Look at all those comments. We love that. Guys, we're going to head behind the veil, which means we're going to head over to our ODX.TV platform. And if you haven't heard of it, well, go over there right now. Check it out, ODX.TV, and sign up as a Stage 2 or Stage 3 member so you can continue this conversation as we head behind the veil. And that is where we can get real. We don't have to worry about being censored. It is on our own platform. And when you join us at ODX.TV, that money that goes towards your membership there helps us rescue more kids. And guys, we do media so that we can rescue kids every day all over the world. So get in that fight with us. Join us at odx.tv. We're going to head over there right now. You good, Pastor? Anything else? Cricket. Yeah. All right, guys. We will see you on the other side at odx.tv, and then we'll be right back here tomorrow, same time, same place for The Pulse tomorrow. All right, guys. We'll see you on the other side.
Human trafficking, the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen. It's not just a global problem, it's our problem, and it's closer than you think.
In just 4 years of open borders, our nation became a trafficking superhighway, resulting in over 350,000 kids just vanishing. It's time to say, not on our watch, not on our land, and not to our children. Our team of rescuers has spent the last 30 years rescuing and raising over 11,000 kids here in the U.S. and all over the world. We have over 51 safe homes and more than 4,000 children in our care right now. But we could have 10 times that. We just need your support. Please call now and join our team of rescuers. Call 877-413-0888 or go to troybrewer.com. Get in this fight today, because if we don't show up for these kids, nobody else is coming.